Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhani Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhani Yasura Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yasura Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tiru Vanna Chari Yamuna Tiru Vanna Chari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parvajakacharya, Asatara Satshri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. I'm sorry, but I got some help now, so I didn't know what kind of help I was going to get. Ananta Goti, Shalvakin Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsukaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Kadadhadu Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopakopinath Shamkun Radha Kunde Giri Govardhana Ki Jaya Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Mayapod Dhamadip Dham Ki Jaya Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jaya Ganga Mai Ki Jaya Yamuna Mai Ki Jaya Tulsi Devi Ki Jaya Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya Srila Prabhupada Translational Book Distribution Ki Jaya Harinama Sankirtan Ki Jaya Prasadam Distribution Ki Jaya All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. And all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam today, the third canto, 16th chapter, and the 37th text. Vishvasya yasthiti layod bhavaheta adayo. Yogeshwarar apidoratya yaya yoga maya. Shemam vidhas chatisano bhagavam triyajas. Again, shemam vidhas chatisano bhagavam tridishas. Tatra madhiya vimprasena kiyan ihartaha. Vishvasya yastiti yo layod bhava heto adyo. Yogeshvarer apidoratyaya yogamaya. Shemam vidhasya tisano bhagavam triyadishas. Tatra madhya vimrasena kiyan ihartaha. Vishvasya yastiti layo bhavaheta adyo. Yogeshvarer apidoratyaya yogamayaha. Shemam vidhasya tisano bhagavam triyadishas. Tatra madhya vimrasena kiyan inhartaha. Yogeshvara apidoratya yoga maya. Shemam vidhasyati sano bhagavam triyadishas. Tatrasmadiya vimashena kiyan bharata. Vishvasya yastiti hayo vavaheta adyo. Yogeshvara apidoratyaya yogamaya. Shemam vidhasya tisano bhagavam triyadishas. Tatrasmadiya vibrasena kiyan iharta. Ladies, please, go ahead. Vishvasya tsati bhaya. Yom. Yogeshvare apidoratya yaya yogamaya. Shemam vidhasya yatisano bhagavam shiyadhyas. Tatras madhya vimrsena kiyan ihartaha. Vishvasya ita. Yogeshvara pidoratya yoga maya. Shemam vidhasya tisano bhagavam trayadishas. Tatras madhya vimrsena kiyan ihartaha. Anyone else? Okay. We'll go with the synonyms, word by word. Vishvasya of the universe. Yaha. Who? Stiti. Maintenance. Laya. Destruction. Udbhava. Creation. Hetu. The cause, Adya, the most ancient person, Yoga Ishvarai, by the masters of yoga, Api, even, Duratyaya, cannot be easily understood, Yoga Maya, his Yoga Maya potency, Shemam, good, vidhasyati, will do, saha, he, naha, of us, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Triadhishaha, the controller of the three modes of material nature, Tatra, there, Asmadiya, by our Vimrasena, deliberation, Kiyan, what? Aha, on this subject, Artha, purpose. Translation and purport. Lord Brahma is speaking now, and he's speaking to the demigods. My dear sons, the Lord is the controller of the three modes of nature and is responsible for the creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yoga Maya, cannot be easily understood even by the masters of yoga. That most ancient person, the personality of Godhead, will alone come to our rescue. What they're talking about here is it has become suddenly and unexpectedly very dark. And this darkness is giving a certain amount of fear and anxiety and uncertain to the demigods. So Brahma is reassuring them, you don't have to worry. God is still in charge. He hasn't left his job. So just be patient. Bear with it, and you'll see that all will work out perfectly. This is not an accident. It is definitely part of a plan. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on this subject? Purport. By Srila Prabhupada. When something is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse, according to one's calculations. For example, sometimes we see that a powerful preacher is killed, or sometimes he is put into difficulty, just as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas was punished. Why was he punished? Because although he was a Muslim by birth, he was practicing what they called a Hindu cult or a Hindu prayer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Marama, Hare Hare. So the Muslim felt that this was an offense to Muslimism, that this Muslim is chanting a Hindu prayer? How dare he? That was their mood. That was the feeling that they had. Haridas Thakur was so advanced that these people who were criticizing him, they deserved to simply stick their head in the mud and shut up. They had no idea of his greatness, his wonder, his glory. And when he spoke or when he chanted, it was all beautiful and right out of the heart of God, so to speak, because God speaks very wonderfully to his great devotees like Haridas Thakur. So, as it's mentioned here, he was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. And that's how we can bless ourselves and bless the world, by preaching the Lord's glories. Not only the Lord's glories, but the Lord's assistant's glories, like Srila Prabhupada. And when we chant his glories and people hear those glories be chanted, they become uplifted and they look up and they begin to wonder and they read these books with much more devotion or understanding or love. And that's because a devotee who has love for the Lord and love for the great devotees, when he is preaching and glorifying them, honoring them, then who can help but to feel the pull, the uplift, the glory of that person and want to be a part of it. So that's why we should sit here and not just mumble. We should give it out as well and as best as we can to let everyone who's not only here in this room but outside all over the world hearing this know that we consider, we think, we feel that this purport and those persons I'm speaking of Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj, all these are not just names. They are great, wonderful, amazing, ecstatic persons. And we should be grateful to Srila Prabhupada who brought them to us. For if he had not done that, who would have? Probably no one. And we would be just sitting in wonder. Okay? So, he was a great devotee who came into this material world, as I said, but Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi. The Qazi was a governor of the Muslims. And he felt especially that Haridas Thakur was a turncoat to the Muslims and that he should not have been chanting this Hindu prayer which we chant all the time. Actually, Haridas Thakur never considered a Hindu prayer. He considered a prayer out of God's mouth, which he was uttering, which he was repeating, and which he wanted to transmit to as many people as he possibly could. So therefore, we have a lot to pay Haridas Thakur, but I'm sorry to say we can never pay him back. His greatness is just too glorious, but the best we could do is to show him how we do appreciate what he has done by chanting this and sharing it and transmitting it with as many persons as we can. Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Think about it. Now, they had whips and they whipped. And he was a loving, kind, sweet, generous devotee. But they didn't like the fact that the people loved what he was doing and were honoring him and were applauding him and thought of him as great. They didn't want that. They didn't want a person like Haridas, who is a Muslim, chanting a Hindu prayer. They felt this was offensive to the religion. So therefore, if you want to chant the prayer, you have to chant the Muslim prayer. That's their mentality. But Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Really beaten. Beaten with whips, beaten with sticks. They looked at him as dirt. And this was so offensive. And why many of these people, by Krishna's grace, were taught lessons at different times of their lives. Sometimes not immediately. Prahlad Maharaj was put... That's another great devotee. Prahlad was a little boy. I'm sorry, but I'm not hearing. I'm coming. What you're saying. Sorry about that, and thank you for correcting. Yeah. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and Prahlad Maharaj was put through so many tribulations, and he was just a little boy. And yet, these Muslim persons, they looked at him with condemnation. And then the Pandavas, the five Pandavas, who were direct friends, not just, hi, how's it going, guy? Not that kind of friends, really close friends. They slept in the same rooms. They did things together. They practiced archery together. They were buddies. They were real friends. And so they lost their kingdom. Their wife was insulted. How was she insulted? Raise your hand. Don't shout it out. Anybody know? Come on. You don't know how she was insulted? Come on. She was what? Yeah, that's a nice word. She was made naked in front of a whole audience. Think of this. And here she was. They just, to spite her, because she was very, very learned, very, very knowledgeable, and they wanted to hurt her, insult her. However, the fact is that Draupadi was a great woman, a great saint, very glorious, and had five great husbands called the Pandavas. Some may say, well, isn't that wrong for a woman to have five husbands? When you become that high, that advanced, you can't sit in criticism. You have to take the words of the great saints, and if they criticize them, you could follow. But Prabhupada never criticized Draupadi for her standing there, her hands in prayer, and begging for the Lord's mercy. So, one should, as it says over here, seeing all... I'll go once a paragraph before. The Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom, their wife was insulted, and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. Devotee means that he's looked after. Devotee means is that he's guided by the Lord. Devotee means that he's especially featured or loved by the Lord, because he does so many wonderful, beautiful, glorious, and memorable things. Therefore, the Lord is very, very sweet and very kind to such persons. So, sometimes the Lord has a plan, and the plan looks like it's against the devotees. But we should not think that. The Lord has his own plan. For example, in this matter, we find out that the Lord... wanted to get into some fight. Especially men like to fight. Little boys like to fight. If you ever see them, they start just thrashing at one another. And then one gets a real socko and goes crying and shouting to his mother, "Mary, help me." And then the mother says, "But you started it." "What's the matter?" So it's very funny. But that's it. The Lord likes to fight. Not with anger, not with hatred, not with jealousy, not with wrath, not with any of that, but with love of the sport of fighting. Now, sport means you do it in such a way as to have fun while you do it. Yeah, I got a few head shakies over here. It's true. They're all fighters probably. After this class, who knows what they'll be doing. So, anyway, that's the idea that fighting can be done for play as opposed to hatred. And so, in that sense, it's actually very likable. And wrestling is the same thing. And other types of martial arts, jiu-jitsu and judo and karate, all these things, with some people that, oh, that's horrible. Why would men want to do all those things to one another? Well, sometimes ladies can't understand it, except those ladies who do those things. And there's a lot of fun to it. And when there is fun, we repeat and we do it again and encourage others, as long as it's not filled with hatred or contempt or any such low feelings, but is rather for the benefit of one. Also, one gains a little in self-protection when you do those things. Sometimes somebody picks on you, and he doesn't know who he's picking on. And if it's persons who have practiced the karate or all these different, and then and there are women who practice, they go into the gym and they learn all of these sports. And sometimes a guy picks on this woman thinking that she's just, you know, like a girl, weak, not very powerful, and finds out that he's, you know, on the floor with a bleeding head and a broken knee, and that's the last time he ever picks on a girl. So it happens. I've seen those kind of things happen. I said, you just don't know who you're getting into fight with. Better don't fight unless it's necessary in defense in order to be able to protect something dear and sacred especially. So the Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as the grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord even in reverse conditions, I'll repeat that, one who continues to serve the Lord, he does it as service, even in reverse conditions, in other words, he's getting beaten up or this or that, or he's been whipped, is assured. In other words, he's going to continue his service. Let us say some little person like me is being picked on. And so I'm not really a fighter, the worst probably. And so somebody who is a good fighter sees that and walks up to the guy who's picked on me and says, what are you doing? So he says, well, I don't like the way he looked at me. Well, that's too bad. I'm going to look at you the same way. And before you know it, that guy's down on the ground with a lot of blood on his face. You don't know who's who and what's what unless you actually have some knowledge of the history of that individual. So, the Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as what? The grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord, even in reverse conditions, is assured. This is because he's doing the will of God. He's doing what God wants him to do. He is assured that he will go back to Godhead. In this particular case, the Lord, he wanted to exercise his muscles a little bit, and he liked doing it primarily with a devotee and not a non-devotee, because devotees do clean things and non-devotees often do very dirty or filthy things. So therefore we have this situation here. So Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there was no use in talking about how the disturbing situation of darkness was taking place. So this darkness was because two big-time demons, who were the reincarnations of Jai, and Bijai, who were doorkeepers of the Lord, were about to take birth. Hiranyaksha, and who's the other one? Yeah. Hiranyakashipu, two big-time demons, and the Lord was going to get a chance to fight with them. And that would give him some pleasure in the sport of fighting. I emphasize sport, not the hatred. Okay? Very important point. You get the wrong idea, then you say, well, it says in the scripture, you can beat up whoever, you fight with whoever. No. You can defend yourself if you need. Or you can walk away if you can't fight. Whatever. And not feel like you're just powerless, worthless. No, sometimes not fighting is the best thing. And then sometimes, if you've got the skill, fighting could be the best thing. I'm not one to say in any situation, but each person has to decide for himself or herself. Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee. I'll say this again. Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there was no use in talking about how the disturbing situation of darkness, this is because these twin demons, they're twins, were about to be born. And that means lots of evil, bad, sin, and so many other things like that. That's what it means when demons are born. So it was ordered. This was ordered by the Supreme Lord. Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee. The others, the demigods, didn't know it. But he knew it, and therefore he wasn't even worried. He wasn't concerned. He didn't have any thought. He just patiently would wait till it comes to an end and move on to the next thing. It was possible for Brahma to understand the plan of the Lord. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Two Doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijay, cursed by the sages. For those of you who don't know why the sages cursed them, the sages, there were four little boys, didn't wear any clothes either. Why? Well, first of all, they didn't want to. First of all, they weren't really little boys. They were the oldest persons in the universe. That's right. But due to their mystical powers, they could change themselves into little boys. And they acted like little boys. You know, they talk in a high voice like this, you know. So, therefore, who would ever think that they were not little, lovable boys? And the main reason is no women would ever want to bother with them. They were five-year-old boys. They're not romantic interests. They were just playful interests. And so that was the situation there. And they were, it was true. Nobody wanted to get close to them in a romantic or intimate manner. So I already ended the chapter here. Yes. Let's see if I got anything more here. My memory is very bad. Being in my 90s, did I do the synonyms yet? Huh? Okay, thank you. Because these words don't mean anything to me. Okay, so next thing on the agenda. Okay. Jayom Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajakacharya Astatara Satashri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayom Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajakacharya Astatara Satashri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Jai. Okay, I think we just about. Archana Prabhu, what did I not cover?
You read the purple,
yes. Huh? Okay, thank you. Okay, so we all know that the Lord sometimes, for his own sport, for his own play, likes to have a nice fight, and he does it with a fancy word, éclat. It's a French word, and it means perfect. Okay? You don't have to remember that word unless you're an author. And then you can show off to everybody how much you know of other languages in your book, like I did in one of my books. Okay, so in this, we have a very important point that is made again and again, and that we as devotees, if some difficulty, trouble, trial, tribulation, problem besets us, we shouldn't get upset. We shouldn't get disturbed. We are being watched by the Lord. We are being guided by the Lord, even though we may not be God-conscious and even think that. We may even be thinking that it was all an accident, like so many non-devotees. It's not an accident. We're all favored. We're all blessed. Of course, if you act in a non-devotional manner, don't expect to get the best treatment. But if you do, like we're all sitting here and listening to the words that Srila Prabhupada has given us, then yes, Krishna is very pleased to see that we're doing that, and that he will give us what? He will give us blessings. He gives us guidance. He gives us direction. He gives us his love. It's not that Krishna simply takes and is indifferent or uncaring or thoughtless. The Lord is so full of love that if we saw it, we'd faint. That's how much love he has. It's impossible to even begin to describe. But if we read the books and we see how lovingly he acts towards so many wonderful devotees, we can see that how can I not love Krishna? In spite of the fact that yesterday I was walking along the street and I fell down, almost broke my knee. Why did you allow this, Krishna? No. Whatever he allowed, whatever he thought was good, was blessed, and we should, as it's mentioned right in the purport, we should be thankful for whatever we get. Because many times the things that bear us or give us pain or suffering or difficulty, trial, tribulation, are in our interests. They're beneficial to us. We learn how to accept pain and difficulty and trial indifferently, unaffectedly, uncaringly, thoughtlessly, and that's the way it really should be done, in the sense that we don't accept it with vengeance, with contempt, or hatred. Those feelings should not ever be present, not in a devotee. The only present hatred that we should have is for performing sinful activities and harming other people by them. When we do that, we hurt ourselves just as much as we may hurt somebody else. So this is a very important point to avoid all kinds of sinful activities. And these wonderful books, they're absolutely amazing, are for the very purpose, the very reason is that to keep us on the cleaner side, the better side, the higher side, so that our life moves upward towards the Supreme Lord as opposed to away from the Supreme Lord by indifference, uncaringness, thoughtlessness, looking down at the Lord. And there are many people who just curse the Lord. How could he do this? Why would he do this? He's bad. God can't be good. How many times we've heard things like that? These people have no understanding that we cannot ever understand the mighty, gigantic plan that God has. Just the idea that he would just get these guys, Jai and Vijay, and get them ready for a nice big fight. God fighting? Hey, he's a sportsman. So why not? Why can't God have a little enjoyment once in a while? After all, he's very restrained. But when he fights, you get to see there's no one who can fight like Krishna. And when we see that, all we can do is have admiration, adoration, glorification, bowing down. And we as devotees here can only be thinking one thing: how fortunate I am. How gracious God has been to me. I'm so filled with his love. What did I do to deserve it? Nothing except commit sins. And even though I had committed them, nonetheless, he did not take them as seriously as I did, because he realized that I was trying simultaneously to become a better person, a devotee, someone who glorifies God. And he saw that too. Seeing that, he wanted to also show his appreciation, his gratification of all the efforts that we make to spread Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we become a little frustrated and we think that maybe the Lord is not looking at me or respecting me or showing his true love for me. Absolutely not. He sees everything. And the less we think of ourselves and the more we think of the greatness of God and try to serve him, honor him, and glorify him, bow down to him, the more he thinks about us and graces us with more of his affection and more of his love and more of his eagerness to see us improve, go up in spiritual life. That's why all of you, all of us are sitting here and listening and remembering these things, hopefully during the day. And if we remember them and we keep them on our mind, then we become very godlike in our status and in our activities. And when we do that, the Lord is even more pleased, because he sees that what he has said or what he is seeing is making a big difference in our lives. And in such a way, this wonderful, glorious, marvelous philosophy is getting spread all around. And I hear of so many devotees being made, devotees, persons who are even hostile to devotional life, become so affectionate, surrendered, completely sold out to Krishna consciousness, which I know all of you are. So on that note, and at 25 after, leaving 5 minutes for questions, which I never do, I will end this talk and thank you all for giving me your audience, that I could share this with you. And I pray that if I've said anything useful or beneficial or helpful, please share it with other persons, non-devotees especially, because they really need it. Thank you so much. See, there's the mark. It's a substitute for applause. Anything, any questions, any comments, any criticisms? I do take criticisms even while I'm sitting up here, so you don't have to. I'm not going to get you. No? Okay, I see no hands raised. Oh, we got a hand raised. Thank you so much. After all, nobody put their hand up. Go ahead, let's hear. Get a microphone, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Great class, especially I was thinking about it after hearing the class a couple days ago where the devotee was talking about using anger in Krishna service, and then just now you were talking about fighting in the context of Krishna consciousness. And you mentioned at the end of your kind of elucidation on that, that one has to sort of make that decision themselves when the situation arises. Is it appropriate for me to fight right now or not? And similarly with anger, it seems like something that's very sensitive to decide whether or not to engage with that. It can have very serious implications for the impression of the society or for one's personal health or something like that. It can be a very serious implications. At the same time, it seems that such spiritual intelligence is required to be able to make those decisions on the fly, whether or not am I going to engage in an angry or violent way with this situation, or am I simply going to walk away? So can you address, Maharaj, that sort of conundrum?
Yeah. Watch your language there.
Which part?
No, you said conundrum. Very few people know the meaning of that word, but it's okay. It's a puzzle for those of us who don't know. Okay. You got it? Conundrum, puzzle. And if you want to use it in your next class, we'll all know the meaning of it. Thank you. Gives me a chance to show off my vocabulary. So, I wrote books, so I had to do that in order to complete them. But yeah, that's a nice point. The first thing is that a devotee cannot just decide whether you should manifest angry. If you are a devotee and you have your emotions totally under your control and you don't get upset easily, you're past that stage and you just experience whatever has to be experienced. And if you're not getting angry, you're not getting upset, you're not getting disturbed, then all you can do is, my dear Lord, thank you for keeping me peaceful and calm and controlled, because otherwise I could be shouting and screaming and jumping and whatever. So I'm not that due to your mercy. Again, anytime anything good happens to us, please don't forget to give the credit to the Lord. And when we give him the credit, not that he wants credit or he needs it or he has to have it, he doesn't. But when he sees we don't want it because we don't want to be puffed up and proud and honored and thought of as a big shot, but we just want to serve lovingly in whatever field or area the Lord allows us to, he likes that. But when we try to show off, like, you know, big words or this or that, whatever it may be, he doesn't like that. He doesn't want show-offs. If anyone should be the show-off, it's he, because he is unaffected by it. And all we should want to do is to be emulators. That's another fancy word, which means that one imitates that type of activity. And if he does, and it's in the best interest not only of him but of so many others, let's all do it. Okay? So thanks so much for coming, for allowing me, and I pray and beg that whatever I've said, anything of any interest or value or concern which will benefit your lives or someone else's lives, please use it, and I thank you for doing that. Hare Krishna. Oh, there you were. See you better when you're closer.